Good morning. Great to be here with you today and to have already been involved in the things of our God for His children here on the earth, singing to them, listening to them as we have both in Bible class and even here this morning in our assembly. It's just good to be with the Father as a kid. At this time, in His own oversight of this world, and at this particular point in the time of His flowing grace to this congregation, I'm glad to be a part of that with you, and delight in it greatly. As has already been pointed out, today's Father's Day, and that's a good thing, I think. Us fathers are not really used to being, I'm not, in the focus. I try to avoid that, number one. I don't feel all that comfortable there. Number two, I don't seek, look at me, look at me. And so when I do get a little focus, it is rattling, you know. It has a kind of a strange effect. But I'm glad to be a father. I have blessings so many in that I can talk about it for the rest of this time period. I won't do that. Our scripture says, and I'll paraphrase Jesus speaking, "In my Father's house are many rooms." And if it wasn't so, would I have told you, I'm going to come and get you. Obviously, you're going to come and get us to take us to our room. And that is something to look forward to. That is a delight indeed to the children of God. He has a room already in His house. You have a room. And Jesus is going to come back and get you and take you to your room. That is, if you're a devoted follower of His, if it's not all empty shell, if it is real, between you and Him, a relationship is there, you know He loves you, and you've learned to love Him back, and that's ongoing as the way you live your life, day by day. You're going home. You're going to arrive, and there's, I don't know who will open it, but He'll open the door to your room, and you'll walk right in. That's going to be incredible in time to come. When we think about rooms, I think about the room in my blood father's house all through so long years ago. In fact, I have my dad's picture. It's my dad and my granddad. My granddad's, if you haven't seen that, you'd laugh to see that. He looks like a 5-foot-inch elf. He's just a little scrubby-looking guy that had a lot of fire in him. And it was a delight, really, to me. But, man, unique and unlike anybody else I'd ever encountered. I got stories there, too, some of which I can't even tell. They're a little colorful. But in any event, the people who have served me in the past, who've been to me in the past, Father, on this earth, are dear indeed. And my dad was certainly one of those. I look at that old picture, black and white. I guess when we took that one, they weren't doing much color, if any. And my mind just rambles back. Miles and miles and miles up into the who knows how many thousands. I followed my dad as he's driving one mule who's pulling a fertilizer distributor, and I'm driving another mule pulling an old seed planter right behind him down the furrows as we're planting crops year after year after year. All so that I could have that room back at home in the house. Wasn't much of a room. Some of the things that took place there, I don't know. Gina, tell me, don't tell them that. There were annual things we had to do that Mom was in charge of. And the annual thing was early in the spring, me, my little brother, we had to tear out everything out of that room. We're talking beds, we're talking everything goes outside while we do a bug search and a bed bug killing party. All of that in that old room so long ago. So primitive a way of life. But yet, in the background, precious. Provided by hard work and care. If you have a dad who's still with us, give him a call. Today. I've already had one. Terry is determined to be first. And so she was. hindering my getting ready for church. But that's okay. So many memories. Had a great work day here yesterday, working on this temporary house of the Father. A lot of stuff going on here. Beautiful time. Good atmosphere. As of this moment in time, as far as I know, the nursery is complete. Functional. The sink is working. The cabinets are all in there. They're all available for all that it'll be used for, little munchkins that God has put here with us to teach, to train, to show them who God is and teach them to love Him. All that's there, prepared by workers over a lot of period of time, and a lot of them here yesterday, and that's a good thing. Lee Pellegrino has almost become like a patriarch here and that sort of thing, which is great. Who God is. And if we pray often as we ought, as I do here often, the first words we might say by Jesus' own leadership is, "Our Father." That'd be. As Jesus was teaching His disciples to pray, and therefore through them teaching us to pray, the first two words remind us, bring to our memory and our consciousness who we are and who He is and the relationship there between our Father. I used to pray, and it kind of, somebody, I forget who now, kind of got on my case. Earl, in your prayers, you're saying, "My Father." Well, it's true, but you ought to say, "Ours." He's not exclusively yours, Earl. And we're taught to pray for each other in that regard, that all of us appreciate having our Father. Love that. There exists a blessed life, as mine's been blessed over so many years, because of being under the care of and within the love purview of Father, who would work at it. Mine did. Who would endure the difficulties of it? Mine did, and He has. The difficulties of being my Father. There have been some that had to be hard to endure. Dedicated believers have available to us, because of who is our Father, a blessed life. I'm reading a book, in fact, several books. Got another one in the mail yesterday. When I get on to somebody whose writings I like, I can become fanatical. I've already got maybe, I've given Mike one, 6 or 7 books by an author by the name of F.B. Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, Frederick Brotherton Meyer. He was a spiritual man. He has some insights that are unique to me. Reading his books reminds me, brings back nuances. A meeting with old Brother Sim Weisenbaker. Similar spirits. And they just stir up in me some value systems that I love, that needs stirring often. And he says in that book that there is a blessed life in the relationship, family of, daily experience of, interaction with, of every child of God with the Father. That is so far beyond anything most ever experience. Is like black and white. They don't ever discover it. They walk along in a legalistic world. Oh yeah, God's nice. Oh yeah, I know this. I've learned a lot in the Bible. I can tell you where the verse is. I can stand up and do a Bible bowl, and I'll be one of the best ones there. Which proves nothing. Either there is experiential relationship between a father whose lovableness is unsurpassable and a child who has begun to see it and is growing, or there isn't the blessed life. That's got to be there. An awareness of God living in His presence all the time, not pursuing some interest of your own, not into some hobby, not into some intellectual pursuit that I'll feel good if I can just figure this out and I'll sit beside the scholars. Stephen Hawking, I can sit beside Stephen because sits all he ever does in his wheelchair. Intellectual man of the world. I can achieve all of that and I will have nothing unless there is that interaction, that connection that is called fellowship, koinonia, between me and Him. Then my life can't be blessed with that blessed life that F.B. Mayer says most people never have. They don't know it exists. Christianity is just you do this, you do that, you run off to church, you go home, you have lunch, and you have your routine of life, and then you try to be nice. That's Christianity. They don't have it. They don't know it exists. What a shame if that's true in the family of God, considering the arduous and painful effort He has gone to communicate it to us. And we don't get it. We aren't moved by it. We aren't attracted to it, motivated. We don't get it. What a shame. Look at what trouble He's gone to try to communicate it. In the very beginning was the Word, Logos, effort to communicate. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived here, all an effort to communicate this blessed life to a people who are dull of hearing and seem so mesmerized by the junk in this world they'll seemingly never hear it. Can't get it. Their ears are blocked. They've been blinded and deafened by Him who rules this world. What a shame for anyone to miss that which He's worked so hard to bring to us. There exists a blessed life. One of my kids, I guess, I don't know who it was, to tell you the truth, it might have been Phyllis or Terry, one of them, put a photo of me on Facebook. If you haven't seen it, I don't want to be around when you see it, because you're going to laugh. I'm sitting there on the sofa, Cheryl's under one arm, and Linda's under the other, and I'm all spread out there in my short sleeve shirt. The funny thing is, I remember that shirt. That was over 50 years ago, and in those days you only had two or three shirts. I remember it. I weighed about 40 pounds. And there I am. Getting to be dead. Cheryl's maybe four or less, and Linda's two maybe. How much time has passed? How many chapters of life between then and today? Blessed life. I hope and pray that God is removing from me and from you this sound thought message deafening effect that He has brought over the world, so that they can't see how wonderful He is, or hear about it and understand it and never be touched to draw near to Him, so that He'll draw near to them. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come. Why'd you come here, Jesus? You were here 2,000 years ago. Why were you here? Left heaven to come here? Why? I came that you might have life and have it to the full. There's that blessed life Meyer's talking about. Old Sim tried to open my eyes to. That you might have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. I won't lead you anywhere but there. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's how much I care that you get the message, Earl, that there's a life, many, many, most people, the majority of the world, only a few there be that find it, really get the idea of this great life available to people who love me, believe in me, trust me, and will draw near to me. There's no one who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands. For my sake, they did it for me, and for the gospel, the story of my son, the death, burial, and resurrection of my son, the story of what took place on an old cross outside Jerusalem. No one who has left anything for my sake, for the sake of that story, who will not receive 100-fold now in this life. And in the age to come, when they come home to that room, John 14, eternal life. It's available now. What a shame to stumble through this life in misery and all kind of upset and fractiousness and negativism and downism and a lousy personality and just emanating, I'm an unhappy person. What a shame when he came so that you could have 100-fold now in this life. And miss it. Never. Why didn't somebody tell me about it? Because you were too thick to hear it. God tried. Jesus came here to show it to you in pictures. I am the bread of life. That's the real life, the blessed life. Jesus said to them, those who come to me will never be hungry. They won't be hungry. I'm not going to let my kids go hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. And he's talking about physical or personal, spiritual. You'll never be hungry. You won't go around, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I'm thirsty for this. I'm hungry for that. And I'll never guess I'll have it, so I'll just be miserable. What a failing formula for life. I told you that you've seen me, but you'll not believe. Everyone whom my Father gives me will come to me, and I'll never turn away anyone who comes to me. You come to me for that blessed life, you won't get turned away. I think that's today's English version. You won't get turned away. That's not my personality. I'll receive you. I have something for you. It's grand, bigger than most people ever see, and I want you to have it. That's why I died, to buy it for you. No other offer you'll ever receive is as good as this offer. None. Hit the daily number for 497,000 million, and it ain't that big. It's not that good. Not as good as what you just heard. You've already hit it. You've already hit the number. That's it. The one who from the cross said, including you in what he was referring to, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're in a fog. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. That person waits to walk every day, not even missing one. I had a bad day today. Oh, bless your heart. Too bad you walked away from Jesus. Not a bad day. To walk every day with you in this blessed life, this good life. And it's my fault every time I have a bad day. Oh, I still have some that are little, not quite as good as others. But it's my fault. Every time. It's the state of my mind, my heart, that pumps into whatever the total community of me is that says, we're having a bad day. There's never an excuse for it. Never. Old John wrote God's invitation to you and me. Beautiful invitation. If we claim to have fellowship with him. You know, there are people who don't have a thing going with God who will say they do all the time. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, if anybody's got it, I got it too. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, do we need to have somebody tell us what walking in darkness means? Just walk your own way, seeking your own things you want for you. Well, I just kind of like that, and I'm going to have it. Well, just go walk in your darkness. If we do that, we lie and don't have the truth, don't live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, purifies us from all sin. Everything that might mess up me and God, gone, taken away, clean. You just heard from God about the best life on this planet. And we need to turn on our perception on switches so we get it. I do all the time. I have to re-turn it on and get it. I think this blooming switch flips itself down to off. I got to turn it back on. I just let you look in right into my notes here as I'm writing this up. That's Earl's sermon notes, a little blurb from it. Let's turn on our heart's perception switch. Turn them on and really hear it. And here it is. If we walk in the light, there we is plural. Walking is walking. I've done a lot of that. We is at least two people, maybe more, walking together. He is in the light. Have any doubt about who that is? That's God Himself. Clearly, two persons walking together. And this forms itself into an invitation from God. Come walk with me. Just come walk with me. Find that life I've worked so hard to give you, and that you have spent so much of your energies trying to mess it up. Because you looked at something and it looked pretty good, and so you went twaddling after it. And you left me behind. That invitation has two huge benefits. Fellowship, which is friendship, koinonia, with God Himself. Walking along in friendship with God. Can you beat that? Then cleanness. Walking along clean. Sin gone. All that dirtied you up, gone. I've walked a lot of times, a lot of days, dirty. It's not fun. Life's no good. What a picture. Fellowship with the Creator of the universe. The Creator of the universe. I love walking with Him. I love being sensitive to Him, His presence, His work going on all the time that I used to walk past and didn't see. There was a yellow, and it wasn't a finch. I know, you got a yellow bird with black wings. You saw a goldfish. It wasn't a finch. It's too big. I don't know what it was. On the railing this morning, I grabbed my camera and he's gone. But in that little yellow bird, so pristine, is my God in all His amazing creativity and artistry and beauty. I'm not saying he had him fly up there, he might have. I don't know. But I love interacting with the Creator far more than I did when I was sitting on that sofa, Cheryl and Linda under each arm, 50-something years ago. I think I have another picture in here for you. There's one. And I come out. He's wandering across our driveway. Gene saw him first. I grab the camera. I go out and nail him with the camera. Awesome.
That's just a turtle, Earl.
That's the handiwork of God. Beauty. Preciousness. That guy, I looked him up. I couldn't look him up exactly. But he is probably maybe just a little younger than me, but don't know how much. He's been around a while. He's an old geezer. Still beautiful. I just love it. Just look up out in the yard. My iPhone may be dangerous. I love it. Handiwork of God everywhere. To experience beautiful, wonderful, blessed life that God promised, it has to have us wake up, turn the perception switches on, and see God wherever He is. These things can't come from nothing. These things don't come from no personality. These things are the idiots that come up with these notions about how the wonders of our creation that we live in, soak up, walk past, and don't even take seriously or see without seeing God or admitting God is a phenomenon to me. I can't understand. I don't see how they get anybody to buy that stuff. To experience this wonderful, blessed life, there is something from you and me that must occur. It must. Or you'll walk as a zombie through life and miss it all. To understand what must occur, I want us to look at one word. We can look at several. I did some word studies on the word consecrate, on the word dedicate in its various forms, on the word sanctify. But I came up with one among that kind of group of words that are somewhat related, and it's the word devote or devoted. Devotion. Now I want us to look at it just briefly. I don't think I put the slide up here that has the Greek. It's called, the Greek word is proskaterio. Proskaterio, which is a long word. Pros means toward, and to tell you the truth, I don't know what katerio means, but it has to do with the idea of being devoted. In this lesson, I'm saying that this action verb, proskaterio, holds the life walk plan that will get you to this blessed life, devoted in you, to Him. You can't be devoted to Him if you don't know Him. You can't be devoted to Him unless you see Him, live with Him, rub elbows with Him every day, all day, and get to know who He is. But when you do that, and when you look back on the history of all He's done in the past before I arrived on the planet because He left me, you can find that fuel for devotion. Maybe you'll be like Peter in today's class. We'll start off, I like you, Lord. I phileo. But he moved by the experiences of life forward to where it was no longer just, I kind of like you, Lord, to I'll die for you, Lord. And to the point where I don't deserve to be crucified like he was, so crucify me upside down. That's love growth. Peter grew. So will you. If you just look, find, see, take it in, move the blinders away and see him for who he is. And a devotion will, you don't, I hate to have people tell me, I'm trying to be devoted. Well, quit. You can't strain up devotion. Let it happen within you by your exposure to the God who will just create it in you if you see Him. Devotion is how Christianity, the one that we seek to restore. Mike's been talking about restoring, and it's the very formula for who we are. There wouldn't be this building, this church, this group of people if some people back 200 years ago hadn't said, it's time to get back to the real thing. Let's put it back in place like Jesus put it here. And people did all over the place. And some of the history since then is not very pretty, but it's still a grand idea, and it's the best idea on the planet. Let's restore what they had. How did they have that? What was their formula? 3,000 brand new Christians devoted on the first day. They don't even go back home, most of them. They just stay where they are. We want to stay here because this is where we found God, and we want to walk back to Him in the world out there that we never saw Him in. We want to stay here. And they did. In Jerusalem. 3,000. Brand new baptized into Christ. Those who received Peter's words. Peter has just preached that sermon. Grand sermon. Told them who Jesus was. That's really what it is. And how Jesus was God on the flesh. On the planet. Those who received His words were baptized. That is, they didn't make some decision. They didn't come to say, let's figure this thing out. Let's try to do some intellectual background. Let's do some study to see if this makes any sense as it regards the various theologies of the time and the various philosophies. They heard it. They believed it because it was true. It was the very source of the history for most of them because they were Jews. And they heard it as truth. And there were about 3,000 of them added that day, and they devoted themselves. There's our word. Day one. Key word. On that day. Made them the family of God. God wanted them to be. Have they grown fully? Are they still going to learn a lot? Have they got to learn a lot about being Christians and getting through difficult times and enduring the things that you have to while we're here in this world? Yeah, but they devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching. What is that? Well, they just heard it. And then they continued to hear it. But basically, it can be boiled down to what 1 Corinthians 15 boils it down to in the first few verses, where it's the death out of incredible love.
for a planet of people. The burial of the one who died there, Jesus. And his resurrection. That's the teaching of the apostles. That's the gospel. Paul calls it right there, the gospel. That is it. And they devoted themselves to the story of Jesus and what God came here through him to do and did to touch hearts, to pay for sins. They devoted themselves to koinonia, fellowship. John said, you're going to claim fellowship? Well, if you're going to claim fellowship, then there has to be something going on between you and God. Yeah, there has to be the walking with him in the light going on. They were devoted to that. And they were devoted to assembling, to commune, to remember Jesus like he wanted to be remembered. They were devoted to that. How many churches today hardly do it at all? And if they do, they pick a convenient time for themselves. They were devoted to just meeting together to pray. Those are the four things they were devoted to. They were devoted to Jesus. They were devoted to fellowship with him. They were devoted to communion and to his word and to prayer. There was perhaps no one in Jerusalem who didn't hear about them. 3,000 in Jerusalem at this particular time would have not been that significant, because the estimates go up to a million or more. Don't know how many were there, but thousands and thousands. Their devotion to God was the phenomenon of the times. Phenomenon of that day, and for that matter, most days since then. These folk had heard. It had gotten through whatever had dulled their hearing, and they're now learning by experience that blessed life that it is had from me exposing myself to him in every way he lets me, both by his message to me, and it all just says, I love you, Earl. And then all he puts around me in the created phenomena that says, hey, Earl, I'm pretty special. I'm doing all this for you. I created an environment for you. In fact, that turtle walked out there for you to see because I wanted you to see it. I do all these things for you, Earl. They devoted themselves. It's time you did. Deliberately. Not just, well, I've been kind of growing in devotion. No, let it be an act of will that says, flip the switch on today. And receive every bit of input, every bit of exposure, every bit of thought pattern from God that it takes to fuel that decision. So your devotion takes root, takes traction, and goes forward. Until you're old as me. Olive's not here. I'm the oldest one here. And that's something. Until you're as old as me. And beyond. Devotion is necessary. It's not a strange thing to do. It's not, well, just tell me what to do, I'll go be devoted. It comes through a process between you and God where you love him, interact with him, touch him, see him, grow to the point where you admire him so much you cannot but be devoted to him. Ready to flip that switch today? Ready to come like they did, these who had been, their eyes, the scales have been taken off from front of their eyes, and they see, and 3,000 of them come. I want to be there. I want to be with him. I'm devoted. I want to step my path toward him and all the fellowship that he had once with me, and they did, 3,000 in number. Might there be one in number here today who wants to do the same thing? Come as we say.